Enjoy the interview. It's an interview with Zay Frank. We had a Skype out interview. First time I used Skype out.
Cheap too.
It's really cheap. I think I talked about him with a quarter of an hour, and it costed me 30 euro cent.
That's way like to go, Skype.
Nothing. Zay Frank is an online performance artist and humorist. We heard him at the IT Conversations podcast. Enjoy the interview, and I hope you liked the episode. Okay, we're here for our fourth installment of the System Trash podcast interview now, and we managed to get Mr. Zay Frank here on the line. It's our very first international call over the landlines we try here with Skype. I hope it rolls out just fine. Zay Frank is, if I'm correct, an online performance artist and humorist.
That's close enough.
That's
sure.
Close enough. I've also checked your site, and you have like a site with an extremely vast number of fun things to do there. But the main reason that we're contacting you, or the main reason that we got to know you, because I must be honest, here in Europe, let's say me and my co-host Dimi, me especially, I didn't really know who you were, but we heard a show of you on IT Conversations, the one where you go on about safety things on airplanes, cabin safety. I'll put the link in the show notes also. That was really hilarious. We were both crying our tears out of joy just hearing you go through all those things on the airplane. And that brings me to my first question. Mainly, we get the notion that all the things that you use on your shows, you tend to give them quite a lot of background. You do a lot of background searching, you visit the sites. I also see on your site that you have quite a techie background also. And our first question, the one we pose to all our interviewees, is what operating system do you have to use now, or what operating system are you using at this very moment?
Well, I'm on a Mac, OS 10.4, and I run everything off of a laptop. I actually just got the new PowerBook, right before they switched to the Intel chip, so. The last of the pre-Intel.
No remorse?
I was a little pissed off, I have to say.
Yeah,
okay. You know, I mean, it was sort of like they, you know, you got the sense that they kind of announced earlier than they probably should have and are shipping a little later than they should have. But, it sounds like a good system. Generally, I never, with a big upgrade like that, I never buy into it until they've had a good year to work things out. So, you know, at best, I would have had to stay clear for another year. And I'm fine with the machine that I have right now. So,
yeah, but it's a bit the same thing here. Although I got mine a little bit earlier, so I'm not really that disappointed. Besides that, they'll probably have a lot of things they have to tweak. So. At this very moment, you're a Mac user, then that makes my third question kind of the same as the first one. But what are your main reasons for using that operating system, that specific operating system? Is it because it's fast? Is
right.
it because you can? Why, for the things you do, why do you use that operating system?
Yeah, I don't. There's no real specific reason. I think it's more of a legacy issue. You know, I started using Macs a long time ago, and the main reason that I, you know, first bought a Mac was something that I was just comfortable with. I had a, you know, a classic when I was in college, and then when I sort of got into the digital arts world, the people that I knew had Macs. You know, that's sort of back when Mac was really a designer
graphic, yeah.
Specific brand, and you know, I knew people that had it. I knew people that had software that I could bum just to sort of get my learning curve up. And then after a little while, just because I do a lot of stuff with audio, and also for a time there I was doing a lot of kind of post-production stuff, you invest, you know, a lot of money or, you know, time in building a library of plugins. And I just couldn't, you know, the kind of cost of switching to PC, even though there's, I think that there are a lot of benefits to working in PC, especially if you're a programmer, were outweighed by the sort of immense switching cost for me.
So, I understand. If you had the chance, what would you change by the way your operating system works, let's say, in the next 5 to 10 years? Is there something that you would like to see changed with the thing you're using right now?
Well, I think 5 to 10 years is a kind of an unfair question. I would love to see operating systems start to move far more towards open source. Generally, mm-hmm. I would love to see operating systems that were much, much more modular, and I'm hoping that what happens with the Negroponte project right now, the One Laptop Per Child initiative, and Red Hat is going to be designing some of the operating system software. Mm-hmm. Because operating systems, in their most abstract, are just sort of a symbolic language shell that allows you to access and manipulate certain data. I think that the trend will hopefully be towards I would say sort of almost like a ubiquitous operating system that just kind of lives across many devices. And then, the ideal thing would be where, the screens themselves, the display modules, are kind of separated out and are kind of like everywhere. So, I mean, I have big hopes in the next 5 to 10 years that it's going to look incredibly, incredibly different than it does now, because the laptop is just an incredibly sophisticated, powerful, powerful machine that people are not really using to their full capability. So I think it would be great if it became a lot more compartmentalized. There was a little easier access to the kind of the core terminal for developing things, a lot more open API stuff. So
I'm
hoping that it's just a massive, massive shift, and it's not like more widgets on my desktop.
I understand. Know? Well, if just to explain the show just a little bit, Dimi puts all kinds of distros on his system. We discuss it, and generally me, from having a Mac background too, trash them, because I notice that a lot of Unix distros still have that attachment to the Windows graphical environment. And now that I hear the things you say, like, if I'm correct, you don't really see it as a next evolution of the operating systems going in the way they are going now, but like an overall system that works on everything, if I'm correct.
Well, I think that's part of it. It's kind of part of a much larger conversation, but I mean, I think that what I'm sort of hoping for is that you're gonna see some new environment, some new hardware environment. Specifically, right now, cell phone hardware manufacturers are in a very bad spot because they're getting kind of locked down by carriers. But imagine if Nokia or someone like that went ahead and started installing a little sort of native operating system that allowed for kind of some kind of development around network apps or content sharing that, right? There's all these kind of like there's places where any kind of operating system initiative that really facilitates content sharing could completely change the paradigm of these of how we think about systems and how we consume those systems. So, I mean, I guess my hope is that it's not an evolution towards even more specialization between these, the current, majority market shareholders. Mm-hmm. But you start having these much smaller, much more lightweight, modular, open source operating systems that start coming, coming up, and where there's, a good amount of benefit to having them integrate with each other. I'm not sure. I'm going to have a hard time saying like, what do I want my Mac to look like in 5 years? because I'm ideally, like, it's going to be a little more complex than that, and a little more possibility.
True. Let's hop on the next question then. I don't know if you have experience in this, but what is the most awful way you've ever heard about computer trashing? That can be your own machine, one of your coworkers, perhaps one of your friends. Is there somewhere where you have experienced something like this, or not really?
Yeah, I mean, I've lost massive amounts of data. I mean, you know, there's the operating system crash. I haven't really experienced to the nth degree, but I've had hard drives fail left and right, where, you know, the cost of actually recovering the data is just too immense to
And he
dabble
goes
with.
By it just like it's not, oh, a hard drive here, a hard drive there.
Yeah, I mean, it's just awful stuff. I mean, in that vein, though, if you allow me to extend it that far, the biggest kind of most scary thing that's starting to happen is, like, you know, my backup CDs from 6 to 7 years ago are kind of like going kaput, you know?
Oh, yeah, so losing the...
There's just kind of like this larger archiving challenge that's coming up. And, you know, I'm hoping that there's going to be a lot more remote server storage businesses that start
popping
up.
I was talking with a colleague of mine. There's this site called iOS, EYEOS.com, I think, and they offer a whole system, but via a browser, and all your files can be on their system then. And that's something I think also, like, one main place where you stock it all, and they take care of the backups. I'll just give you the list of systems trashed by people we've interviewed right now. We have Clark Boyd from the BBC Technology podcast, who had a friend of his laptop was pierced by sniper bullets. He was in the military. And then we've got J.D. Fraser from the user-friendly comic, and he saw a friend's computer melt away because it had a sulfuric acid thrown on it or something. So
Well, there was, I've never heard of this directly, but there was this thing about how the new Macs, when you try to plug them into 220, so the American release laptops, they would fry, the motherboard would fry when you just tried to, simply adapt to 220, bringing them over to the UK.
That's a nice one to visualize also.
Yeah, but there's a whole bunch of legend stories about, there was an entire episode of Simpsons that was lost due to a hard drive crash.
Oh, didn't hear that one.
You should check that out.
Yeah, I'll check it out perhaps for next interview. Checking out how they lost the holes. Won't be happy to talk about it, but that's not our problem. Okay, each episode we discuss a distro. The episode when we'll be airing this interview, then we'll be discussing Gentoo Linux 2006.0. Now, it just released, so I don't suspect that you ever used it, but perhaps an older version. Do you know the system? Have you ever checked it out?
I have not, no.
No,
I have not. I'm actually, I'm not a super, super techie junkhead. Friends of mine, build up their own systems. And,
yeah, Dimi does too, and I always...
run Linux and Python and all that kind of crap.
And I always laugh.
I get lucky if I can get, a limited version of Python to work on my machine. So.
No problem. It's fun to hear when Dimi's wife is calling him on when he's at work, and then he goes like, no, you have to, and then no, that's the firewall, and no, you have to do this and then that, and she just wants to use some application. It's nice to hear those guys who are trying to get all the distros working, but I think they have a long way to go, in my opinion.
Okay.
Zay Frank, I thank you very much for this interview. I won't be taking any more time from you now. Perhaps you could plug your shows, or what are you up to these days?
I'm doing a whole bunch of crap, man. I don't know. There's nothing in particular that I would plug. It's just kind of like an ongoing ridiculous string of generally non-money making activities. But
that's cool.
They're fun.
But they're fun.
Yeah.
So we can. I just checked your post there, we can see what you're up to at zayfrang.com. If I'm
correct. Absolutely.
Okay, I'll point them to that in the show notes. I thank you, and I hope you'll find out a lot of more stuff to put on your site or to do shows, and I hope to hear from you again in one of the podcasts I'm listening.
All right, bud.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye.
Take care.